Hello? Testing. Wow, this seems to be working a lot better than it used to. That's good. You're listening to the Power Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Word Gold podcast, episode number 73. Welcome, 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 listeners. Welcome, countrymen. Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome, Power Word Gold Nation listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, so we are going to jump right into it. For this episode of the Power Word Gold podcast, let's go ahead and start off with simple tips and tricks. We're gonna start off with a simple tip and trick. Something that if you don't learn anything else in this podcast, you learn this simple tip and trick. All right, so the simple tip. Simple tip and trick for this episode of the podcast is that, in case you didn't notice, Trade Skill Master has added a UI for the profession window, and it takes over the profession window. But what if you want to use the default profession interface? I know sometimes I like to use the default profession interface, although the Trade Skill Master one is pretty good. One of the things, for example, that it doesn't have is the the Auctionator AH button, which allows you to basically just select all of the mats in the current item that you're looking at in your profession window and searches them on the auction house. So for the TSM profession window, the simple tip and trick is that, in case you didn't notice, there is a TSM button at the top left of the window, and if you click that, it will take you back to the default interface. It then keeps the same TSM button, and if you click it again, it goes back to Trade Skill Master. So, again, if you are wanting to use the default interface, or, say, an interface that may be from another add-on in your profession window, click the TSM button at the top left, and it will take you back to the default. All right, so let's go ahead and move on. We have some topics that we're going to be talking about today that we're pretty excited about. Let's go ahead and start off with something that has been taking up a lot of my time, and I have a feeling that it's probably been taking up a lot of time for a lot of us, and that is the Timeless Isle. I finally was able to make it over to the Timeless Isle this last week, and didn't quite know what to expect. There's a video up at Power Word Gold, and also on our Power Word Gold YouTube channel that's called Timeless Isle Adventure Time. Come on, grab your friends. So, Timeless Isle Adventure Time. We have a second episode coming out, but that was our first experience with the Timeless Isle. And for those of you who have played on the Timeless Isle, we'd like to think that we're kind of like professional Timeless Isle people now. The Timeless Isle is kind of an interesting addition, and I've read a few things from Blizzard saying that they liked the way that the Timeless Isle was implemented, and I'm going to try to keep my remarks about the Timeless Isle focused on gold making, since that's the thing that's kind of the important thing for this podcast. But I do enjoy the Timeless Isle, the whole like exploration and finding little treasures. Even if you're using an add-on like Handy Notes to find the treasure chests and the rare spawn, rare spawns popping up. But what Blizzard said is that they kind of liked the way that the Timeless Isle worked, and they might end up implementing something similar in the future. And I think that that's probably a good idea, because having kind of like having like a little playground where you can kind of go and do a bunch of different stuff and still get rewarded is it seems to have worked out really well. Kind of takes off on the treasures that they put around Pandaria. But before this Timeless Isle, but the way that this is affecting the economy, and somebody brought this up to me in the live stream, and I was like, aha. The way that this is affecting the economy is essentially once a character is level 90, they're going to now pretty much, I mean, yeah, it takes a little bit of effort and takes a little bit of time to get tokens, because on the Timeless Isle, you get these bound to account epic armor tokens, and they are might be for they might be for cloth, or might be for mail. Here's a little tip I want to give that I didn't even know about. Luckily, my live stream viewers are smarter than me. If you right click on your portrait up in the upper left hand corner, you can do a profession or what's it called? Loop preference, I think it's called, or something along those lines, where you can select, say, like, if you're a druid, you could select tank, heal, you know, druids might have more, but you can pick a loot specialization, that's what it's called, a loot specialization. So let's say that I'm on my shaman, and I've gotten all the pieces of gear I need for my enhancement set, and now I want to start getting some gear for my healing set. What you do is you open up these little items while your loot specialization is set. Normally, it's set default to the active, say, healing or DPS or whatever role that you have set, your talents. I was actually switching back and forth between my talents, so if I needed a healing piece, I would switch into healing spec and then open up my items to get the healing sets, but you can actually set your loot specialization there. I know that this is not news to anybody that's probably done LFR or anything like that, but I had never heard of it. So if you set that specialization, then now anything that you open up on the out of the Timeless Isle will use that specialization, which is nice. So I could just run around as enhancement, but have my loot specialization set to restoration, for example, and when any of time I open up an item, it would just be building me a restoration set. Which is a nice little tip. But before 5.4, when people were looking to get into LFR, I think that one of the easiest ways that they did it was to purchase PvP gear off of the auction house, because it had a relatively high item level. So that would have been the Crafted Dreadful items. But in this patch, 5.4... the best, easiest way for your brand new level 90s to get gear, and actually, I have even taken April's level 87 over to the Timeless Isle. Not like she was able to get a lot of the things, but she could start getting some of the things, even though she couldn't wear them. So first thing a level 90 is going to do, go over to the Timeless Isle. Why? Because you're going to be getting that 496 gear. And you'll be getting into... So basically, the Timeless Isle became this kind of gear shortcut. And I think that that's affecting the sales of PvP gear, the Crafted Malevolent. I don't think that it's as attractive to people if they don't PvP. And even then, I don't know. There might be better places to get PvP gear than from the auction house. And I've been disappointed in the PvP gear sales. I have had some, and most of the ones I've had, and this is just my own experience. I've heard other people say that they've had some success. At least for me, it's been some blacksmithing items. But I might be on a low to medium pop server that doesn't really have much interest in PvP, or there might be other places because shows how having a lack of knowledge in one area can kind of hurt you, because I don't PvP, so I don't know like where gear areas are, like where you can get it and stuff like that, or how hard it would be to get it. But I think that that's true, that this Timeless Isle is kind of sucking up all the air out of what might have been, say, like an 87 to 88 market, where people might be looking for some a little bit of those items, or possibly some of the crafted level 90 stuff, because now you can just get free epics. So, but that's the timeless isle. I think that, you know, it is affecting a lot of the PvP gear sales, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that as the show goes on. The next thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is kind of one of my favorite markets I talk about quite a bit. My sales for my 83 to 84 Mista Pandaria items have been fairly consistent. I've been pretty happy with them. They've been on par or possibly a little bit higher than they have in the past, and I'm not quite sure why that is. Maybe people leveling their alts to get into the Timeless Isle to get gear. That carrot, having that carrot of like, oh, if I can just get to 90, then I don't have to worry about going through all this trouble to do all these other things to get gear. I can just get up to level 90 and get my gear straight off of the Timeless Isle. The one last thing about the Timeless Isle that's also interesting, let me just add to the end, is that it's going to be interesting if I have a full set of 496 gear going in to the next expansion. So that'll be nice. I won't be running around in just blues and greens from leveling like I would have if the Timeless Isle hadn't been there. Once you get one or two characters out there, I currently have 11 level 90s, so once you get two or three characters out there, you start sending your gear back to your other characters, and a lot of my characters that go to the aisle now have like four or five pieces ready to go. And as far as leather working goes, I'm starting to disenchant those into Shaw crystals, and those sell for a little bit over 100 or something like that. So, you know, not bad. If it's, I have two enchanters. I have an enchanter that's cloth and an enchanter that is leather. So I am able to send those people, and you can send those tokens cross faction, by the way. So my leather worker is a horde, and my leather wearer, I said leather worker, it doesn't matter what their professions are, sorry, it's that one wears cloth and one wears leather. One goes one way, one goes the other way. So what? One wears leather. So I don't know, like, if you can, somebody could let me know if, say, for example, if you can, I think I'm going to have to test. I'll have to test it out to see if a leather wearer can open it. But I don't think you can open up an item unless it's native to your class. All right. So 83 to 84 items seem to be doing pretty good. I'm actually pretty happy with them. The supply has quite a bit dwindled up, which might actually be one of the reasons why my sales are doing well, is that there's just not as many people doing the, you know, the 83 to 84 is an interesting market because it allows you to use items at the end of the other expansions. So, for example, at the end of Cataclysm. So, talking about Cataclysm a little bit later. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and talk next about leatherworking PvP items, materials. I've talked about this before on the show, but I just wanted to reiterate because there was really an interesting thing that happened on my particular server this last week, which was leatherworking prices went crazy. Specifically, Magnificent Hide prices went through the roof. I was able to sell not a lot. I mean, not a lot of times when prices spike, they spike temporarily and it's maybe never going to get back to that price. But I noticed that the supply of Magnificent Hides was going lower and lower every day and the price was getting higher and higher. So I think that the price was probably around $485. Give me a second. I'm going to grab a drink of water. So, the price was going up to about $485, and I think there was maybe four or five hides on the auction house, maybe even less, like three or four. So, in my mind, this is something that you want to keep in mind. If the supply is low, and the item's likely to be in demand, and the, you know, so supply is constrained. Don't be afraid to raise the price. And that's what I ended up doing. I ended up raising the price. Normally, I would, if I was going to sell them, I would sell them for maybe $250, but I actually raised the price up to $645. And then actually, I even raised some of the prices up to $745. So I essentially tripled the mat cost for Magnificent Hides, and they sold. So, you know, like I said, these little temporary blips in the market are something that you want to keep a track of. And for some items, I like, for example, Magnificent Hides, I do them by hand, manually. I don't use TradeSkillMaster. I mean, you could do something similar to TradeSkillMaster, but TradeSkillMaster is not going to know how many are on the auction house. So it's not going to know if there's a supply constraint on the auction house, and it's not going to know, you know, it's not going to be able to make that judgment for you that, oh, you should really price this higher rather than lower. So if there is items that possibly have some spikes in price, I use Auctionator to do that, to sell those, and that allows me to see the market, how many other people are competing with me. So, and because I could make and sell the Magnificent Hides for 645 gold, I'm not saying that there's still that price, but because I was able to, I've essentially stopped making the cooldowns, which are the hardened Magnificent Hides. Now, I know that if you're looking to sell epic items, that might, you know, the epic items and learn the epic items and sell the epic items, which, you know, you make the hardened Magnificent Hide. But for me right now, it's better and more cost effective for me to just sell the Magnificent Hides. I have two leather workers right now, and I'm trying to, I wonder if I should make one of my leather workers into a, I wonder if I should make one of my leather workers into an engineer, because it seems like having an engineer would be kind of cool too. But that character, I don't know if you've ever had those characters where they just kind of jump from profession of the week to profession of the week. So she was an alchemist, and then I made her into a leather worker because I thought, oh, you know, and right now it is pretty good to have a leather worker because I can make Magnificent Hides. But saying like, oh, I should move them into now being an engineer. But the engineering items is because you could do the Jard's Mysterious Energy Source and make a pet every 15 days or a golem every 30 days. So, speaking of engineering, I finally made Blingtron. So I'll be able to actually have a reliable daily source for Blingtron. I want the little pet. I hope it comes from it. I like that little pet. So, it's just interesting that leatherworking PvP, the Malevolent, is so much more expensive in mats than the tailoring and the blacksmithing, which the mats are really cheap. It's just not even close to being the same expense. And my guess is that probably means that the leather and the mail Malevolent PvP markets on a lot of servers are probably kind of messed up. But it might not matter if people are mainly doing those for item level. Sorry about that. I woke up this morning and my throat's like, oh yeah, baby. We gonna be low talking tonight. All right, so let's go ahead and let's go ahead and take a break here for just a second to talk about the sponsor for the show. I listened back to these podcasts where I'm the only one speaking, and I'm like, man, this guy talks. This guy talks a lot. And it's monotonous. No, I don't think it's monotonous. Okay, so the guide. The sponsor for this episode of the Power Word Gold podcast is the Power Word Gold Guides. We have two different guides. The Power Word Gold Guide Volume 1, which is a 130-page guide to making gold with add-ons, fully updated for TradeSkillMaster 2.0. And we have the Power Word Gold Guide Volume 2, which is a 75-page guide to making gold in Mist of Pandaria. The price for these guides are $5, $10, $15, and $20 each. Four different prices. They all purchase the same guides. We just leave it up to you to decide which price you'd like to pay to support Power Word Gold and the Power Word Gold podcast. So to purchase those guides, head over to powerwordgold.net. There's a banner ad. There's some purchase links on the sidebar, or always there's a store link at the top of the page for more. Now we're excited that the Powered Gold Guide is now available for purchase with PayPal. This is one of our most requested features from people, is that some people, some countries actually, specifically, like Germany and a few other European countries, people just really prefer to use PayPal. So we went ahead and were able to get that set up. So if you'd like to purchase the guide with PayPal, head over to poweredgold.net. Look for the purchase links on the sidebar that are indicated as PayPal, or go to the store link at the top of the page, and you'll be able to see the PayPal purchases. So thanks to everybody who purchases the guide. It is a great support to Power Word Gold. All right. Also, yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's all. It's always interesting to try to figure out what to say and what not to say. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump in to our next topic. Our next topic. Our, as in Power Word Gold. I don't know. I don't like saying my next topic. I'm going to jump into my next topic. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the next topic here. See how I dodged it. The end of the expansion. BlizzCon is coming up. The first thing that was on the BlizzCon was World of Warcraft. What's next? So, the end of the expansion. End of the expansion. It's definitely got some effects on the markets. I just wanted to give a little bit of advice that for having seen the end of Wrath of the Lich King, having seen the end of the end of Cataclysm, and now we're coming up to the end of Mists of Pandaria. I wanted to give a little bit of advice for people about the end of the expansion. Now, the end of the expansion tends to, in my mind, it tends to, I've had a lot of success certain parts of the expansion where, in my particular markets, which mainly tend to be flipping markets, I ended up tending to sell more items for that were more useful to people leveling alt. So, in my case, that might be like, oh, I'm going to go back and farm a few more 77 to 80 items in Mount Hyjal at the Ascendant's Rise. Or, I might, you know, start getting rid of mats that will drop in value over time in the next expansion. I held on to a bunch of mats. Like, I held on to a lot of my, like, true gold and stuff, and I didn't actually get a chance. I didn't do as well selling that in this expansion as I probably would have. But if there's things like even mounts, like Sky Golem mounts, and you're not getting them sold for what you would like, just think in your mind, like, what are people going to be doing in the next expansion, and what, most importantly, what are people not going to be doing in the next expansion? And I saw with Mists of Pandaria that my backstock of Cataclysm enchanting items got more valuable. Now, all these items are going to get dumped on the auction house at the beginning of the next expansion, but after a couple months of the expansion being out, all of those supplies are likely to be picked up from people that are buying them for leveling and stuff like that. So I guess the gist of what I'm going at is if you end up having some mats left over at the end of the expansion, it's not necessarily a bad idea if you have the space to just hold on to them for a month or two into the next expansion and then start selling them when you notice that the price starts to go up, rather than trying to sell them at the beginning of the expansion when everybody's cleaning out their banks. Other than that, if you think that there's items that are just not going to be useful to people at all, like, I don't know, maybe you have a bunch of crafted items or you know, other things like that that are really not going to be useful to people in the next expansion, just go ahead and start lowering the price on those, getting them out. I probably need to do some spring cleaning on my guild bank. But all in all, the other thing is that you might see sales start to slow down at the end of the expansion because people tend to like to play the game when there's new stuff. And so, you know, I would guess that player numbers spike when there's new patches and then kind of die off. And then as the expansion gets closer, I think a lot of more casual players think, well, the last patch is out. I'm going to just kind of let my I'm going to let my subscription run out, and I'm just going to wait for the next expansion. So, but even so, if you're smart, you'll be able to adjust and still make gold, and maybe even make, you know, maybe make the same amount of gold, but you just have to do it in a different way because you might be the last stall in the bazaar, the last stall at the swap meet if everybody else has kind of slowed down and you're still selling. So, end of the expansion. It's a slow time for a lot of people, but the other thing that's interesting is that winter is coming. And I don't know about you, but it's cold sometimes here. Not really that much, but in winter I tend to like to stay inside and play World of Warcraft. Hold on a second. So, keep that in mind as well. Whereas that's compared to like summer where people want to go out and swim in the pool and get warm. Okay, so I did a post on Power Word Gold about auction house size comparisons using WoW Auction. So let me, sorry, I'm going to just go to pull up this post to make sure I don't get it wrong. Oh, there we go. Okay, so the post was called How Does Your Realm's Auction House Compare? And I found a really kind of neat feature at WoW Auction, which is spelled WoWUCTION. So it's like WoW and auction, but without the A. Now, if you go to reports, if you go and you pick your realm and faction, and then you go to reports and you go to realm overview, it will give you a lot of different stats, and including your auction house. Like, for example, this is what the page for mine says. It says my server name, and averages the Alliance auction house averages about 5 million gold, and which is 54% of the realm's total, and the ranking for this faction the ranking for this auction house is 47 out of 492. And it also says there's 7,000 different items on the auction house. But I thought that was interesting, that ranking. So first it gives you the total for the whole auction house, which on my particular server is like over 9 million. Then it gives you the auction house averages, which is about 5 million. And my... Sorry, my cat just made a bunch of noise. Oh, they knocked over my cats. Cat, I'm a cute cat. All right, so let me put this back up again. It was just all right. So let me get back to this here. Sorry about that. So that was some interesting stuff. So 54%. So my, you know, I tend to notice that the factions don't generally overlap too much, but on your server it might be. But the might be more or less, but the 47 out of 492 just gave me an idea that, you know, and in the post I go over, like, I compare three different realms and give, like, kind of different ideas about it, but it is interesting if you looked up your own server faction on WoW Auction, which again is WoWUCTION, it gives you some idea about how your server size compares to other auction houses. So if you're number 480 out of 492, then you're like, wow, my auction house is kind of slow. If you looked up your other faction and you noticed that theirs was, say, like 50 out of 492, you're like, well, that I might even be able to make a little bit of money if I just made a new character on the opposite faction. In my particular case, my factions are fairly even. But I just thought that was really cool. So if you want to find the post on Power Word Gold, it's called How Does Your Realm's Auction House Compare? You could probably search for How Does in the search box at the top of PowerWordGold.net. But it is interesting to try to get a perspective, because it's really hard when you're in your kind of myopic little gold-making world doing your gold-making day-to-day, and you're not quite sure, like, is my server high population? Is my server low population? And we kind of maybe have these own ideas in our head about if it's low or high, but that gives some really interesting comparison data. All right. So we're going to kind of wrap up into the last few things here. They've been starting to announce more connected realms. I saw pairings of like, looks like 5 or 6 pairings of servers. And one of the particular servers was 2 servers that had already been connected, and now they were going to be connected to a 3rd server. So it's not even necessarily that there's only 2 servers. So they're connecting up realms, and if anybody is listening out there has experienced a connecting where your realm gets connected to another realm, write me an email and let me know how the experience was. Send it to powerwordgold@yahoo.com. But I'd like to hear some firsthand experience from people that actually were on the realms and started to have... Mostly, I'd like to learn a little bit about how the economy kind of changed, because that could be a pretty big change if you're a server... Population doubled essentially overnight. So I'm interested to see how the connected realms are affecting the economies. It could be something like, well, we got a little bit more sellers and there's a few more competitors, but I'm making more because it's a bigger realm. Seems like that's kind of what it is, or I'm selling more, but I have to sell them at slightly lower prices. I want to know what happens when three, you know, jewel crafters from each realm have to meet, so 6 people meet, and they're trying to get in, they're stepping on each other's economies. It could be way less of an issue than I imagine. All right, so the last thing I wanted to talk about was that Cataclysm is now part of the Battle Chest. So if you knew what the Battle Chest was originally like WoW plus the Burning Crusade, and you'd buy it and you'd get it for 1 price. And then there was WoW and the Burning Crusade and Cataclysm. WoW, the Burning Crusade, and Wrath of the Lich King. And now it is WoW, Burning Crusade, and Cataclysm. So I'm sure they're doing that ahead of the announcements about the new expansion, so that now people only have to buy Mist of Pandaria and the new expansion. So I thought I would mention that. I don't know if it necessarily probably won't really affect the economies, other than it might bring a few new people in to Cataclysm, but maybe unless I'm selling 77 to 80, I don't necessarily think it will have a big bump on the economy, but I wanted to put that out for people. All right. Is there anything else? No, I don't think so. We do have a few people that we're planning to get into this show as guests, so that you don't always just have to listen to a half hour of me talking, but we can't let not having... Well, let me see. It's not... We can't let not having guests, but we can't let not me not having scheduled the guests hold us back from having the show, but we also do want to do the best show that we can. So, all right. That is going to wrap it up for the podcast. If you'd like to send a gold-making question, a gold-making MP3, or a gold-making tip, or gold-making tip in MP3 form, you can send that, as always, to powerwordgold@gmail.com. Oh, no, don't send it to that one. That one is technically valid. PowerWordGold@yahoo.com. Also, as always, you can find our blog and podcast at PowerWordGold.net. You can find us on our live streams over at twitch.tv/JimYunkin, YOUNKIN. Head over there and follow us so that you know when we go live. We've been doing that at least a couple times a week. So that's a good way to get some gold-making information. You can find us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is PowerWordGold if you want to follow and interact with us. You can find us at youtube.com/PowerWordGold. Head over there and follow and give us some thumbs up on the videos. Or not follow, subscribe. And you can join the discussion on Reddit at reddit.com/r/goldmakingdiscussion. If you have questions, just want to discuss gold making. And also, last but not least, you can find us at facebook.com/powerwordgold and Tumblr. We are powerwordgold.tumblr.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that that's going to do it for episode number 73 of the Power Word Gold podcast. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. You guys are going to make me do it, aren't you? You guys are going to make me add something artificially to the end of the show because I don't have outtakes because I was the only one talking today. I was the only one talking today. So instead you get this little fake song. Thank you for listening.